All right, we are on the record. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Catherine Beaumont, the hearings officer for today's hearing. It is January 13th, 2020 at 1:30 p.m., and we are in the hearings office hearing room, which is in room 3000, located at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. The type of hearing we're having today is a public hearing for case number LU-19-245706ZC. This is a type 3 application for a zone change in compliance with the comprehensive plan. The site is located on the block bounded by Northwest 24th Place, Northwest 25th Avenue, Northwest Upshur, and Northwest Vaughan in Portland. As the Bureau of Development Services staff will describe in greater detail, the applicant proposes to change the zoning of the southern portion of the site from Commercial Mixed Use 1 to Commercial Mixed Use 2 zoning designation. The Commercial Mixed Use 2 is one of the corresponding zones allowed under the site's Mixed Use Neighborhood Comprehensive Plan designation. My role today is as a neutral decision maker. I have no bias or personal interest in the outcome of this case. I've had no ex parte contacts, that is, communications outside of this hearing room, with any interested person about the substance of this case. Before we begin today's hearing, I do have some preliminary announcements that describe how today's hearing will proceed. These are required by state law and the zoning code, so please bear with me. They're for your benefit. They address the focus of today's hearing, the record, and what it consists of, guidelines for giving testimony, and how today's hearing will proceed. First, the focus of today's hearing is whether the applicant's proposal meets the approval criteria in the zoning code for a zone change and the statewide planning goals. BDS's staff report and recommendation identifies and discusses the applicable approval criteria, and copies of the report are located near the hearing room door. Staff will also identify the approval criteria in their presentation in just a few minutes. As always, the applicant has the burden of proof to establish that the proposal meets each and every element of the approval criteria. Turning to the record consists of all evidence submitted into the record, and when making my decision, I will consider the oral and written testimony given at today's hearing, as well as any written testimony that is submitted before the record closes. The audio recording of today's hearing will be available on the hearings office website in approximately 2 business days. Documents in the record will include the BDS staff report and recommendation and all exhibits listed in it. As I said, written comments submitted before the close of the record, and the BDS planner's file and PowerPoint presentation, both of which will be submitted at the end of the hearing. The record will close at the end of the hearing unless one of three things happens. One, the applicant asks for additional time to submit final written argument. Two, someone asks to have the record be kept open. Or three, someone asks for a continuance of the hearing. Anyone who wants to have the record kept open should say so at the end of their oral or written testimony submitted today. And if such a request is made, the record will be held open for a minimum of 7 days. Anyone may also ask for a continuance of the hearing if new information is submitted in support of the application at today's hearing. If you have a document you want in the record, please give it to the clerk during your testimony or before the close of the hearing. The reason for requesting that you do that is the record might not remain open after the end of the hearing. Please put your document on the table next to the clerk so she can mark it as an exhibit and add it to the record. When you're giving testimony, please speak clearly into the microphone and identify yourself. Give your full name, spell your last, provide your mailing address, and if you're representing someone other than yourself, state who you represent. If you give testimony early in the hearing and then come back and later give testimony, please give us your last name so the recording will be able to identify who is speaking. A copy of my decision will be sent to anyone who submits testimony and any others who give their name and address to the clerk after the hearing. Your testimony must be directed towards the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in a plan or land use regulation that you believe applies. It's also very important to raise any issues concerning this land use application and BDS's report and recommendation before me at this hearing or before the record closes. If you don't, you can't later use the issue as the basis for an appeal. Also, when you're raising an issue, please raise it clearly and specifically enough to allow me and BDS staff and other parties in the hearing room to understand your discussion and the issue you're raising. The order of testimony for today is as follows. We'll begin with the BDS planner's PowerPoint presentation. Following that will be the applicant's presentation. What I'm most interested in learning from the applicant, in addition to whatever you have prepared to present to me, is whether you oppose or agree with BDS's staff report and recommendation. We'll then turn to public testimony in support of the applicant's proposal. Following that, we'll hear from any principal opponent, which is typically a neighborhood association, business association, or other group organized to oppose an application. If there is no principal opponent, we will turn to public testimony in opposition to the application. Then BDS will have an opportunity for rebuttal and response. And if BDS presents any new information in their rebuttal or response, everyone will have a chance to respond to that. Finally, we'll end with the applicant's closing statement. I can and will ask questions to make sure that I clearly understand your testimony. My written decision will be issued within 17 days after the record closes, and my written decision is appealable to the City Council. So with those opening guidelines out of the way, we will turn to the BDS staff report and recommendation.
Morning, thank you, Ms. Beaumont. Again, it's Mark Moffitt, and the case file again is 19-245706ZC. I'm going to go through this pretty fast because it's pretty straightforward today. In summary, we have a zoning map amendment from CM1 to CM2 on a split zoned site. The change is in compliance with the mixed use neighborhood comprehensive plan map designation. The result is a slight upzone to CM2 across the entire site, changing the southern portion from CM1 to CM2. This would increase the FAR and the height, so the density and bulk allowed slightly over the CM1 zone. No specific development is proposed at this time, and the proposal requires a Type 3 zoning map amendment to modify the base zone per the existing comp plan map designation. So the existing zoning map shows the split zone site, the dark black line running east-west through the middle of the site splits the property into CM2 on the north and CM1 on the south. And the proposal would snap that line to the south of the property, but otherwise continuing east-west to separate the properties along Vaughan in CM2 with the mid-block condition between Thurman and Vaughan, which is CM1. We have the standard approval criteria for base zone changes in Chapter 855, Section 50, subsections A through E. We also have the statewide planning goals as a mandatory approval criteria because the zoning map amendment criteria were changed during the comp plan update last year, and that plan is still on appeal at the state level. Until that appeal is resolved, we have to have those findings for the statewide planning goals. There appear to be some neighbors in the room, and I had a couple calls asking for just to identify the site location, that it was the parking lot, but I didn't receive any neighborhood letters at this time. There's a very simple site plan that I just actually put together for the staff report. There's not much to show on the site plan, so it's just really identifying that the site is the existing surface parking lot, through lot between 25th and 24th Place. There are no buildings or, again, no specific development proposed at this time. There's a very few pictures starting over on the 24th Place side. If you look in the zoning map on the lower right-hand corner, the green arrow indicates the direction I was standing and pointing the camera in, approximately standing at the tip of the arrow. So this is on 24th Place, looking south towards the dead end before Thurman Street. That street doesn't go all the way through. It ends in a house. And then just looking across the street to the east on 24th Place, there's the Silver Cloud Inn, the backside of that. Looking north towards Vaughan on that same 24th frontage. Now I'm back on the same frontage looking into the parking lot, which is the site from 24th Place through the chain link fence that surrounds the property. Now I'm interior to the parking lot looking at the closest abutting building, which sort of projects into the site at the northwest corner. It's a separate property, but the parking lot goes right up to the building. And another shot just of the parking lot looking east, more towards the 25th side. And then a couple views of 25th Avenue looking north, and then looking south with the site parking lot in the foreground behind the fence. I guess I have one more shot looking south on 25th. In demonstrating the approval criteria are met, criterion A requires that the change be in conformance with the comprehensive plan map and that the zone be the most appropriate zone of those, which are the options, are CM1, CM2, and CM3. Based on the map of the surrounding area and the mid-block CM1 with the CM2 along Thurman and Vaughan, and you can see that line is irregular and has varying depths from those busy streets, this change is consistent with that pattern and map layout. Under criterion B, the public services for fire services, water services, sanitary and stormwater services, as well as police, were adequate for the proposal. I should mention that the PBOT staff person is in the room if there are any questions. The school district issues are not relevant. There's a criterion that says school districts with an acknowledged facilities plan have to show that the proposal won't strain their resources. Portland Public Schools does not have an acknowledged facilities plan. I believe David Douglas is the only one that does. Criterion C addresses IR zone issues, which are not applicable. D as well is not applicable. It's for the campus institutional zones. The site is within the boundary, City of Portland boundary of incorporation. And then all the relevant statewide planning goals are satisfied or met. Staff recommends approval of the zoning map amendment for the southern portion of the site. We don't have an address, so I just have the tax account number and the state identification number in the approval language, just to be clear what the piece of land is. From CM1 to CM2, in compliance with the comp plan map, there are no conditions or anything. So the hearings officer has this, her standard options, approval per the staff recommendation, or approval with modifications to the language or findings or conditions, and then of course denying the proposal. That's all I have.
Thank you. I don't have any questions. We'll turn to the applicant, applicant's presentation.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Renee France. I'm a land use attorney with Radler White, Parks and Alexander. My address is 111 Southwest Columbia Street, Portland, Oregon, 97201. To lead off, we agree entirely with the staff report and thank staff for their work on this. Again, my presentation is going to be fairly short because I agree with staff that this is fairly straightforward. The purpose of the zone change is to resolve the current split zone situation, which is disfavored in the City of Portland, and eventually to facilitate future development of the existing surface parking lot. But there is no development proposed at this time, and any future development would be subject to and must be in compliance with any applicable development standards. Given the existing zoning pattern and the proximity of the site to Northwest Vaughan and an EG zone north of Vaughan, we also agree with staff that the CM2 zone is the most appropriate zone for the entirety of the site and the correct way to resolve the split zone situation. As staff noted, there's full support from the city bureaus, including PBOT. And Julia Kuhn from Kittleson is here today if there are any questions about the transportation study. that was included in the application and prepared by Kittleson. So with that, I will reserve any remaining time for rebuttal unless you have any questions at this time.
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify in support of the zone change application? I see no hands raised. I see no one coming forward. We will turn then to, is there any principal opponent to the zone change application? I see no one raising their hand or coming forward. Is there anyone who would like to testify in opposition to this zone change application? Again, no hands raised, no one coming forward. BDS, any rebuttal or response?
No.
All right. Applicant, any final words?
None.
All right. The applicant has the opportunity to, has the right to an additional 7 days to submit final written argument. Does the applicant wish to take advantage of that opportunity?
No.
Okay. All right. Since the applicant has waived their 7 days to submit final written argument, no one has requested a continuance or to keep the record open. The record will close at the conclusion of the hearing, and my decision is due no later than January 30th, 2020. And with submission of the BDS planner's file and PowerPoint presentation, that will close the record, and the hearing is concluded. Thank you, everyone.